Julie turned on the faucet and stepped into the shower, trying to stem the tide of memories. What was the use of replaying hard times? Her mother, she often mused, had been fatally attracted to two things, booze and toxic men. Either one without the other would have been bad, but the combination had been intolerable for Julie. Her mom went through boyfriends the way kids go through paper towels, and some of them made Julie feel less than comfortable once she hit adolescence. The last one had actually tried to have his way with her, and when Julie had told her mother, in a drunken, teary rage, had blamed her for coming on to him. It wasn't long before Julie found herself without a home. Living on the street had been terrifying even for the 6 months or so before Jim came along. Most everyone she met used drugs and panhandled or stole, or worse. Scared of becoming like the haunted runaways she saw every night at the shelters and in the doorways, she searched frantically for odd jobs that would keep her fed and out of sight. She worked every menial job she saw offered and kept her head down. When she first met Jim at a diner in Daytona, she was nursing a cup of coffee with the last of her pocket change. Jim bought her breakfast and on the way out the door, said he'd do the same thing the following day if she returned. Hungry, she did. And when she challenged him about his motives, she assumed she knew his reasons and could remember gearing up for quite the embarrassing public tirade about cradle robbers and jail time. Jim denied any improper interest in her. And at the end of the week, when he was getting ready to head for home, he made her a proposal. If she moved to Swansboro, North Carolina, he would help her get a full-time job and a place to stay. She remembered staring at him as though he had bugs crawling out of his ears. But a month later, considering she didn't have much scheduled on the old social calendar, she showed up in Swansboro, thinking as she got off the bus, "What in the world am I doing in this nowhere town?" Nonetheless, she looked up Jim, who, despite her persistent skepticism, brought her over to the salon to meet his Aunt Mabel. And sure enough, she found herself sweeping floors for an hourly wage and living in the room upstairs from the salon. At first, Julie was relieved by Jim's lack of apparent interest, then curious, then annoyed. Finally, after running into Jim repeatedly and dropping what seemed to her quite shameless hints, she broke down and asked Mabel if she thought Jim found her unattractive. Only then did he seem to get the message. They went on a date, then another, and the hormones were surging after a month together. Real love came a short time later. He proposed, they walked the aisle in the church where Jim had been baptized, and Julie spent the first few years of their marriage drawing smiley faces every time she doodled by the phone. What more, she wondered, when considering her life, could anyone want? A lot, she soon realized. A few weeks after their fourth anniversary, Jim had a seizure on the way home from church and was rushed to the hospital. 2 years later, the brain tumor took his life, and at the age of 25, Julie found herself starting over once more. Add in Singer's unexpected appearance, and she'd reached the point in her life where nothing surprised her anymore. Nowadays, she thought, it was the little things in life that mattered. If the highlights in her past set the tone, it was the day-to-day events that now defined who she was. Mabel, God bless her, had been an angel. She'd helped Julie get her license so she could cut hair and earn a decent, if not extravagant, living. Henry and Emma, two good friends of Jim's, not only had helped her fit into town when she'd first moved here, but had remained close even after Jim had passed away. And then there was Mike, Henry's younger brother and Jim's best friend growing up. In the shower, Julie smiled. Mike. Now there was a guy who would make some woman happy one day, even if he seemed a little lost sometimes. A few minutes later, after toweling off, Julie brushed her teeth and hair, put on some makeup, and slipped into her clothes. Since her car was in the shop, she'd have to walk to work. It was about a mile up the street, and she put on a pair of comfortable shoes. She called Singer just as she was locking the door on her way out, nearly missing what had been left for her. Out of the corner of her eye, she spied a card wedged between the mailbox and the lid right next to the front door. Curious, Julie opened it, reading it on the porch as Singer burst from the woods and trotted up to her. "Dear Julie, I had a wonderful time on Saturday. I can't stop thinking about you. Richard." So that was the reason Singer went bonkers last night. "See? she said, holding out the card so Singer could see it. I told you he was a nice guy. Singer turned away. Don't give me that. You can admit you were wrong, you know. I think you're just jealous. Singer nuzzled against her. Is that it? Are you jealous? Unlike with other dogs, Julie didn't have to bend down to run her hand down his back. He was bigger than she had been when she'd entered high school. Don't be jealous, okay? Be happy for me. Singer circled to the other side and looked up at her. Now, come on. We have to walk, because Mike's still fixing the Jeep. At Mike's name, Singer's tail wagged.